In the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis portrays Aslan. Aslan is the type of Christ. Aslan is the majestic lion, Lord of Narnia. And in one of the episodes, one of the children asks of Aslan, is he safe? And the answer is, oh no, he's not safe, but he's good. Did you know God will never harm us, but he may hurt us deeply? Do you know, whoever God would use greatly, he first hurts deeply. Now that may be an experience in life that you've had before, but the message is entitled, Grief, the Gateway to Hope. We're going to talk about hope this year. We're going to encourage our hearts to receive new things from the Lord. But I've got to tell you the truth. We've got to grieve the old world before we are in a position to accept a new world. We have to grieve the losses of our past in order to live in the present and receive a new future from the Lord. And sometimes God will actually dismantle things in our lives that are the most precious things to us in the moment. Do you know, there are what I like to call Surgeon General warning prayers. Here's one of them. Lord, use me. No matter what happens, use me in my generation. That can be a little dangerous sometimes. Now, I don't want to get you frightened of God at all, but I want to tell you the whole truth. Grief is the gateway to hope. This is a year of hope. This is a year where God is doing new things. And I want to lead off with a scripture that will underscore the good news and the newness. Listen to it. It's in Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, this is a verse in the book of Isaiah, and it's a pivotal verse. God is speaking to his people, and you know where they are? They're in exile. This is years after God dismantled Judah. He dismantled the temple of Solomon. He destroyed the city of Jerusalem. He exiled the people, and the Davidic dynasty was wiped out. God dismantled the then known world. There's an interesting date in history. Now, I'm not a big date person either, but I want you to remember one date. It's a date 587 BC. What happened in 587, that's 587 years before Christ, what happened in that year was an extraordinary dismantling. The people of God had always worshipped in the Temple of Solomon. They had the sacred city of Jerusalem. They had all of the what we call the Holy Land under their jurisdiction. And they seemed to be secure in all that they had. But they'd slowly turned their hearts away from God. And God wanted to do a new thing. And he wants to do a new thing in us this morning. But here's an interesting truth that we have to learn. Only grief permits newness. Now, I want to talk about for a few minutes what we do when God dismantles our world. Now, in the context that we're talking about, in 587 BC, this date is the most crucial date in the history of God's people because that's the year the Temple of Solomon was dismantled. This was their place of worship. Has there been a challenge to your known world? Now, your known world represents everything that's secure to you, everything that's familiar to you, everything that is a track that you run on mentally and emotionally, and you got your thing down. It's your temple of Jerusalem. It's your city. It's your city. It's your way. Have you ever just started thinking your way and doing everything your way and getting all locked into what becomes your world? I mean, that's your world. We meet you, and if we enter into your little, the Dennis bubble, that's Dennis's world. The Craig bubble, that's Craig's world. You enter into my world, and my world, it starts making sense. What my world is to me. Well, did you know sometimes God wants to do a new thing? And so first he's got to dismantle the old thing. Now, I know this is rough, and I've got the worst handwriting of anybody in human history, and I ran out of ink, but I wanted to just give you just a little help here. Here's 587 BC. This is the date. Now, over on the left side is the word relinquishment, and on the right side is the word reception. Relinquishment and reception is God's pattern throughout Scripture. You've got to relinquish the old in order to be in a position to receive the new. But let me tell you, we are just as stubborn at holding on to our old world and our ways and our thoughts and our attitudes. We are as stubborn as the people of Judah were when God said, you know what? I got to step in and help you a little bit. I'm going to help you by helping you relinquish. Can you say relinquish? You know, where's Mr. Rogers when you need him? The season of relinquishment literally meant the destruction of the temple. That was their what they relinquished as their known world. Now, everything on this side of the ledger, the temple, the city of Jerusalem, David's dynasty, all of that, God helped them dismantle. It represented utter loss. They went into exile. To the people of Judah, it was an end and a judgment on the old world. Now, I don't want to leave you there because then you're going to want to go shoot yourself. You go, wow, this is a downer. No, actually, 587 is a great metaphor for us because our old world is going to be dismantled in order that God can bring us into a place from relinquishment to reception. Now, the new world he promises them is a gift they're going to receive. It's a homecoming that they're going to appreciate. It's staggering joy and a return to something that is exceeding abundantly above and beyond all they could ask or think. The Messiah himself would walk in the second temple. God has an old temple that represents our old life. It's being dismantled now. Here's the good word. Grief is something that doesn't happen to you, you must enter into it. Do you know every other negative thing that comes upon your life, like relationships that break up, sometimes can happen to you, bad things can happen to you? Grief is the only emotion we have to enter into by choice. Did you know that? No one can grieve your grief over your childhood. You must choose to enter into it. Now, God may help you a little bit by starting to dismantle help you in the relinquishment category. But I want you to see the sober reality of 587 BC. The whole kingdom of Judah, everything they were, everything they had their identity associated to, was destroyed. Now, let us close on the board so you won't be tortured by my handwriting. Loved one, God is dismantling the old. Now look at a few of the points that I made here. These are basic grief points. The sorrow of death produces newness of life. One can't both love the old and receive the new. Look at this one. Staggering joy awaits those that grieve the old. And healing comes only when the wound is acknowledged. Now I want to jump down to the third point because we, all of us here, are shepherds today. You've heard what the word pastor, it just means shepherd. Did you know you're a shepherd in your life? You're shepherding people all the time. Whether you know it or not, you are leading and feeding people. You say, well, I'm not a member of the clergy. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking something higher than that. You're a leader in your world. You are intensively famous in your immediate relationships. Not extensively. Everybody, you're not like Pastor Joel. Everybody knows who you are. But you're intensively famous. You may never have extensive fame, popularity like that, but you are intensively famous and you are a shepherd where you are. And here's the chief job of a shepherd. Look at what we learned from the story. If you look at the third point, we are to shepherd people into exile, that is getting in touch with their world being dismantled, the grief of their world. We're to shepherd people into exile. We are secondly to remain with them in exile. And third, we are to lead them out of exile. Do you see, you are a shepherd, just like little sheep. The people you influence. God is doing a new thing this year. I want to encourage you. Here's the pattern. We're led into exile when God dismantles the old. We live a little while in that place of exile, but then there's a returning and God brings us out. That's the whole history of the Bible. We're either going into exile or we're coming out with the Exodus. We're going into exile, we're living in exile, or we're coming out of exile. God wants to anoint each of us this year to be shepherds of all those people in our lives to realize when we encounter people whose world, as they know it, is being dismantled, we want to You know, with grieving people, they don't need answers. They need love. You don't try to fix a grieving person. It's impossible. You don't try to explain to them why something happened, because you don't know and nobody knows. But you just be a presence as they go into exile. Weep with those that weep. When they live a little while in exile, weep with them. Be there. People who are grieving need to have all of their difficult feelings validated. And there are many difficult feelings. When a world is dismantled, you've got all kinds of feelings. You need to validate all somebody's emotion. Be a shepherd. Lead them into exile. Then live there with them. They're going to have to tell their story. They need to be heard. More than once, by the way. It's called rumination. When you go through grief and loss and your world is dismantled, you need to talk. And someone needs to listen. Don't need to fix. Isn't that a relief? You don't need to give answers you don't have. Isn't that a relief? But you need to be a presence, a shepherding presence. You see, the people of God, in relinquishment, they lost their world. It was dismantled. They went into exile. Then they returned. God always says, you may be in a time of grief right now. You may be at your known world may be dismantled this year. Everything you thought about, hoped about, had control of, but you know, that's not a negative thing, because grief is the doorway to hope. Bottom line, grieve your grief this year. Just as we're coming into the new year, go over the relationships of your life. Go over the major hurts of your life. Go over the things God has dismantled and removed from your life and subtracted from your life. And we don't want to wallow in it forever, because it isn't a healing step just to be angry all the time. I had a therapist at one time wanted to get everybody angry and take a bataka and beat the walls with it. Well, that's nice, but you got to get out of that. You can't just stay angry forever. That's not cathartic enough. You need to come through. See, these people in 587 BC, Judah, they had their temple dismantled, their city Jerusalem dismantled, everything that represented security and control to them, God took away and categorized as old, because he wanted them to be in a place to receive a new thing. And many of you have gone into exile, you've been living in exile, and now it's just about time for you to come back into a new thing. But you know, you go through a lot of ups and downs in life. You know, we don't need to know everything about everybody here. Did you know, but there's nothing new under the sun? There's nothing in this room you could confess unless you did it last night with lasers in space. There's nothing new under the sun. Absolutely nothing. I'm a pastor. I've heard everything. I got to watch that now, because I'll probably hear something this week that's a new twist. But here's my point, precious one. There's nothing that you've ever done that is hidden from God. He knows that when your world feels dismantled, that you're going to try to medicate that pain, or you're going to try to, you know, soothe your grief and your loss. He understands every form of medication, all right? But here's the thing. The children of Israel had their world dismantled, and the Lord himself took some of these things away. But it wasn't simply a punishment. It was a posturing that those who went into exile would not stay there forever, but would be ready to receive something new. And by the way, the new they were going to receive was way beyond their conception. Did you know we cannot keep control over our lives once we've given them to God? It's like giving a pencil to God and saying, Lord, you draw my life now, and then you try to take it back every 20 minutes. Are you like me? The problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. Lord, I will lay upon your altar, but not right now. So, you know, every living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar. Living sacrifices want to take the pencil back and write and continue to write our lives our own way. But guess what? God mercifully for Judah saw what Judah needed instead of what Judah wanted, and said, I'm going to take that temple, and I'm going to take that city, and I'm going to take that land, and I'm going to give you some spiritual ginger in between courses, so that I'm just going to get you ready for a new world, a new beginning. And it may be new with regard to everything. Your idea of God, your relationship to others, to yourself. That's a little scary, I know. Judah wanted to hold on to the temple of Solomon. I mean, that was the temple. You know, things in our lives, that's secure. That's an endless thing. That's going to go on forever. When God challenges with dismantling and relinquishment something that you have made your God, that's a little rude. told the Lord, "Don't be so rude." Little four-year-old the other day, I said no, and the four-year-old said, "You're mean." I said, "I'm mean because I didn't give you what was just going to destroy you." That's how we are with God all the time. "You're mean." And he goes, "No, I've got to dismantle your temple. I've got to take everything that you trust in and all the props away so that," here, don't let him finish the sentence, "so that he can bring a new world that's secure, real, stable." You know, a lot of things that we think are our real world aren't real at all. See, there's a lot of things. You know, you can have a lot of real feelings without any reality being at the end of them. Come on now. I mean, there have been times at church, I didn't hug them, and they would go off and call three people and say, "The pastor's mad at me because he didn't hug me." Now, those were real feelings for them, but they were not rooted in reality. There was no reality at the end of it because I didn't even see them. See, I mean, we can have hamster wheels of thoughts that are real to us, but there's no reality at the end of them. Selah. That means say it again, man. Think about it. When's the last time you went off on a mental tirade about something that never even happened? You just perceived they looked at you funny. They didn't even see you. They were squinting like I am nowadays. Okay, I know I look weird when my kids go, "What are you looking at me for?" I'm just trying to see them. Now, that innocent squint can be, to someone else, send them into a tizzy that I'm mad at them, or I don't like them, or I shot them a look, or I didn't do anything. I didn't even see them to sin against. But did you see, you can have real loads, boatloads of real feelings, and praise God, and we'll validate all those, but there's no reality at the end of them. And God this year is trying to get us through real feelings and what we really think we need and want and so on, and he's scapping and shaking all of that down. Whatever can be shaken will be shaken this year right down to the ground. But that's a blessing. Fire comes through. It purifies gold and silver, but it wipes out wood, hay, and stubble. The Tin Man wasn't afraid of fire. It was the Scarecrow. Remember? He wasn't afraid. Tin Man just lay down on the fire and put it out. Remember? Fire does not produce fear in gold. Silver is not frightened of fire. So I want to encourage you this year. I'm not going to scare you, but I want to tell you the truth. Grief is the gateway to hope. I think there's one last door that we all need to go through this year. Just be willing to go through it. You don't need to understand everything about every loss of your life and all the details of the hurts you've been through. But you need to be willing to let God help you finish the dismantling of the old. And you know what? It can be as simple as simply saying, "Lord, I don't know what that man said today, but all I know is I don't want the old anymore. I want the new." And whatever infrastructure you would dismantle, hallelujah. Whatever you would subtract from me that you know better than I do, you're the daddy, I'm the child, I want Drano, I'm trying to drink Drano and you're trying to save my life, take the Drano away. I was 4 years old at Paul Curry's house across the street, alone by myself in the kitchen. And I opened up that little sink, under the sink, remember? And I saw that beautiful can that looked like candy. It was a blue and white can. It's called Drano. And you open it up, and lo and behold, it was made of lovely little candy-looking crystals. Can you imagine these Drano people that designed Drano? Let's make it look like candy and make it deadly. Drano's what you put in your sink, and if you ever drink it, it just eats through your throat and you're dead. And I remember like it was yesterday. I opened those, and I remember thinking to myself, "You ought not be doing this." You know that little voice that always says, "You really shouldn't be doing this." About twice, and I'm flipping that, I'm knocking the dove off my shoulder, and pushing the Holy Spirit away. "Get out of here. Get that bird out of here." You know, if it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty, Grandma used to say. Yeah, I wonder. Anyway, I'm under there, and I see the Drano, and I'm reaching for it. I was making a commitment. And then I popped the top, it was a red top, and I popped the top, and I saw those crystals, and I'm reaching for it, and I get smacked up the side of my head. And Mrs. Curry, all I know is Mrs. Curry happened to me. She swooped me up with one hand, knocked that out of my head. It was really violent. It was really violent, and I remember thinking how much I hated what was going on just then as this woman I'm thinking how rude that hurt. She hit me. I'm calling CPS. Well, I didn't know that much. In the future, I'll call CPS. There's no statute of limitations, right? So she picks me up and is angry and her face is red and I'm crying. Now I'm starting to cry. I had no idea she saved my life. Well, I'm hating this woman and how did she hit a child and all this, then her face is red and I'm never coming to this house again. I didn't understand until I was about 20 that I was going to drink that Drano. Nothing was going to stop me from killing myself. But God sent Mrs. Curry. Thank God. That's why I'm able to talk right now today and not be talking like this. Then there'll only be 10 people. Hey, open your Bible. Has God slapped the Drano out of your hand? Yes. Has he dismantled? You had a whole room full of Drano. You know, we have a weird idea of what's good for us sometimes. And God says, you know, I know you want that, but you don't need that. And if you get that, it's going to kill you. But nay, we will have our own way. Remember the children of Israel said, we want a king like everybody else. Nay, we will have a king. Sometimes God will answer your prayer and send leanness into your soul. He wants to dismantle whatever represents the old world that would harm us. And we have to grieve that. Do you know you even have to grieve bad things that you've lost? I mean, addictions you've given up on, you have to grieve them. They were your friend. Just like grieving relationships you've lost. I don't care how terrible that person was for you. You know, when they played the Dan Fogelberg songs, all the old Lang Syne songs. You know, I mean, you're listening to the radio and you're thinking, well, he wasn't that bad. Yeah, he was Satan. She was Satan's sister. What are you talking that up for? Loved one, I know it's hard to let go of something old that's been our temple and our Jerusalem and our culture. And you know, the children of Israel, during the time of Judah, there were whole people who would not accept the reality of the dismantling of Jerusalem. The prophets were there even said, no, it's not true. The political people in power said, God will never destroy his temple. He'll never dismantle this situation. Well, you know what? We're not going to be people who resist change. We're going to be people this year who welcome. We're going to relinquish in order to receive. We're going to let go of the old in order to receive the new. I mentioned one more example. I don't need to go into it far. It's about Jesus as he stood on the brow of the hill looking over at a later temple, the temple of Herod. Luke 19, 41 and 42, it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it and he said, if you had known, even you especially this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus is weeping over the city of Jerusalem. He's weeping over a gift that has died and for those who don't know of the failure. He's weeping over people in another generation who would not allow the old to go. You know, I know that you and I, we want change this year. We want hope. Grief is the gateway to that hope. Let's make a commitment as we read through the Bible together systematically this year that we are going to be people who let go and relinquish the past. I mean completely. You say, oh, Craig, I gave up the past. I don't drive looking in the rearview mirror. You know, blah, 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 blah. You can know that in your head, but let's check our heart and see if there's any beach balls we're still holding down that God's wanting to pop up. You know, it's hard to hold a beach ball under the water. You ever tried that? Try two. I know, let's put a third one in there. It's really hard to swim in the pool holding three. It's easier to let them go and let them pop up. Whatever the issue is, whatever the situation is, let's cooperate with God this year. Let him dismantle the old, the whole world. It may have seems like something that's the whole world to you, but he has a new world for you of hope, of healing, of simplicity, an elegance of peace and rest this year. And our part is to be willing to let the old go because grief is the gateway to hope. Now, I can stand here all the time and say, hope, 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 hope. But guess what? The beach balls of grief, if they're still there, they need to be allowed up and we need to have closure. We need to go into the exile. We need to go into, stay in it, grieve the loss. And whatever the losses of your life are, there are plenty of books on grief recovery. Plenty of books. There's a wonderful book called How People Grow by Dr. John Townsend and Henry Cloud. Talks about grief, talks about the stages of life, how people grow, the way God helps us release. But I want to encourage you something about grief. Grief is not something that will happen to you. You have to choose to enter into it. And did you know, just before the gateway of hope in our lives, there are some things that need to be relinquished and given to God. Now, I want to pray for you because, again, to know where you are in the map of the mall of your life this year, you want me to tell you the truth, right? That gateway of hope is, it's within reach. You're closer than you've ever been. But sometimes, to get there, we have to go through. The way out is the way through. You can't go over the grief you've been holding down, under it, around it. You got to go through. The way out is the way through. And the only way to deal with that pain is to embrace it. And it doesn't have to take forever to grieve a loss. But it has to take the honesty of saying, Lord, 587 BC, whatever has been my world that I will not relinquish, I surrender it to you, Jesus, because I trust you to dismantle anything that is the old. And I'm going to trust you that you're not going to harm me, even if it hurts me. But I'm going to turn towards new things and accept to, as I relinquish the old, to receive new joy. Jesus put it this way, a mother in travail giving birth is in agony. But in a minute, she forgets all of that pain and grief for the joy that is born into the world. Did you know that? When you're dealing with a mom in the middle of having a baby, she doesn't want to talk to anybody. She doesn't want to have normal conversation. She is not normal. And there's a lot of pain, and we can't go into denial and say pain isn't real. Yes, it's real. And get close enough to her, and she'll take you down. But the pain is only a temporary transitional point. Once that new thing comes that's exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think, you forget the pain. You let the old be dismantled. God has something new for your future. But just all you have to do is prepare your heart and say, Lord, I'm really ready to deal with the old. I want you to process the old, get the beach balls out of me of the old, and I want to move forward. Through grief, the gateway to hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you right now, Lord. We come to you with expectancy like little children. And we ask you to be our heavenly Father, our Daddy. Just dismantle the old, Lord. Wash it away through the blood of Jesus. Let all of these beach balls fly up, whatever needs to happen. Let them go. Pull away, Lord, all that you're wanting us to relinquish. And we do pray for hope. That we will receive a new world, new relationships, new attitudes, a new and cleansed heart. But we're going to trust you. We don't know the way, but you know the way. And we're going to stick close to the shepherd this year. And we know that if we just stay close to you, we're going to get where we need to get. We're going to go where we need to go. We're going to stay away from what we need to stay away from, Jesus. Give all of my dear friends the strength to just follow the shepherd this year in the new direction. New hopeful things. And we trust you, Lord. You know how to handle the old, and you know how to give us the new. In Jesus' name, amen.